everybody. I'm Karen Hartglass, and here we are. Are you ready for another It's All About Food show? I am so ready for this hour. But before we get started and get on with the main subjects and my guests, I just want to take a moment, maybe you can too, stretch a little bit, take in a deep breath. I am so exhausted. This last week, I have tried to fit in so much more than I usually do, and I usually do too much to begin with. And right now, I'm sitting for an hour, and I'm just going to be able to talk about what I love doing, and in a way, it's relaxing, and I'm so grateful for that. So I'm sitting here thinking, as I'm feeling tired, saying, no, don't feel bad that you're tired. Feel grateful. There's so many things to be grateful for. So I'm grateful for this chair that I'm sitting in. And I'm going off on a trip to a place where I know it's going to be hard to find dark leafy green vegetables and juices. And we're going to be talking later about an app that will help you find juice bars. But fortunately, I'm here in the Progressive Radio Network studio where I could pick up a container of Gary Knoll's green stuff, which I did, and I feel very fortunate to be able to have that to travel with me. I've got to have my greens wherever I go, and I'm grateful for that. Okay, here we go. My first guests are Dan Latterman and Sherry Soria of the Living Light Culinary Institute. Let me read a little bit about each of them. Sherry Soria is a raw food revolutionary, the founder and director of Living Light Culinary Institute. She's been teaching the art of gourmet raw foods to individual chefs and instructors for more than 20 years and vegetarian culinary arts for 40 years. Wow. She has personally trained many of the world's top raw food chefs and instructors and is often referred to as the mother of gourmet raw vegan cuisine. She's the author of 4 books, including Raw Food Revolution Diet and Raw Food for Dummies. She's been a popular speaker at many international health events for the past 20 years and over 66 years young. She's vibrant, energetic, and inspiring example of the raw food lifestyle. And also Dan Latterman, a pioneer in the internet revolution in the late 70s and has been pioneering the raw food revolution and its impact on health for the past 18 years. He's the co-author of Raw Food for Dummies and co-director of Living Light International, along with his wife, Sherry Soria. He's also president of the Institute for Vibrant Living, a nonprofit organization dedicated to global education about raw, organic, plant-strong foods and their role in health and vitality, and a certified Hippocrates health educator. Wow. Okay. Welcome to It's All About Food, Sherry and Dan. How are you?
Hi, Karen. We're doing great. It's so good to talk with you.
It is. I'm just feeling the energy right now coming out of my microphone or out of my headphones or something.
Yeah, it's good to be here.
Okay. So you're into this raw food thing, and Sherry, my, you've been doing this a long time.
I have. I was fortunate enough to study with the original pioneer of raw food that in those days was used for healing, and that was Dr. Ann Wigmore. There was no gourmet, it was cuisine, it wasn't a cuisine in those days.
No, in fact, Ann Wigmore's food is very special. I've been down to the Institute, and it's not, I mean, I know when you're healing, some people are willing to do just about anything, but it's not the tastiest food.
No, that's absolutely right. And in fact, that was primary for her, was to wean people off of their need to have food that was tasty, because she wanted people to eat to live, not live to eat, which was causing so many of their problems.
Right.
And so I took what I learned from her and created it into a cuisine. And people loved it. If food tastes good, people will eat it. It doesn't matter whether it's good for them or not. They want to eat it if it tastes good.
Yeah, well, we've certainly come a long way, and I believe in eating to live, absolutely. But, I think we're here to experience joy as much as we possibly can. And when we have to eat, why not enjoy it? And we know the food is fabulous.
Thank you, yes. And in fact, the truth of the matter is that you really, unless people are dying, And even sometimes when they are dying, they won't change their diet. But if you want people to eat healthy, you have to make it taste good, because if it doesn't taste good, they won't eat it. They would rather die.
Okay, now why why raw for you? Where did the raw food experience, why did it start for you, and why have you stuck with it?
Well, as you mentioned, I'd been teaching vegetarian, plant-strong cuisine for almost 20 years. When I went to visit work with Dr. Ann Wigmore in Puerto Rico, and I saw so many miracles there, far beyond what I could have expected, just taking people off of the foods that were killing them and putting them on cooked plant foods. What I saw with her using wheatgrass juice and only raw blended foods was that people were recovering from diseases like cancer when they had been given a death sentence by their doctor, and their doctor said, there's nothing more we can do for you. And Dan experienced the same thing when he went to Hippocrates Health Institute. We both, we weren't together at the time, but independently of each other, we saw miraculous healings with raw food. And so my goal was to make raw food tasty enough that people would want to eat it on a daily basis, not just because they were dying and had to get healthy and using it just as medicine, but to also satisfy their desire for foods that were delicious and, you know, had textural contrast and looked beautiful. I wanted it to be an actual cuisine. And so that was my goal, and it did come from the fact that I had seen so many miracles at the Ann Wigmore Institute in Puerto Rico.
I'm in love with plants, and I'm so glad to be alive at this time when we're really, I don't want to say exploiting, but we're taking plants to a whole new level for so many different things and rediscovering what simple plants are all about. So we're kind of going in both directions with technology, extracting all kinds of magical ingredients from plants, but also revisiting the Garden of Eden, the simple foods, and how they're really wonderful for us. Now, raw food, every category seems to have a gazillion subcategories. So we're talking about the standard American diet, and some people eat meat and fish and chicken, and then some people don't eat it, and they eat dairy foods, and then we have vegans, and we have starch vegans and grain vegans and raw vegans, and then raw food has a whole bunch of subcategories too. So there are the sprout people, the fruit people, the sometimes oil and namashoyu people, the dehydrated sometimes stuff. Where do you fit in the raw food continuum?
Well, we believe in flexibility, and the key is the more raw food, the more plant-based food you add to your diet, the better off you're going to be, the healthier, the more disease-free, your weight's going to normalize, you're going to feel younger, you're going to look younger. And just everything works better, on a plant-based diet and then on a raw food diet, because on a raw food diet, you get a diet that's rich in phytonutrients and enzymes, which are the really keys to, fighting oxidization and aging and cancer and all sorts of disease. So we kind of come down on the flexible side of the more the better. Traditionally, our view of raw food and what we talk about in Raw Food for Dummies is a raw vegan diet. So it starts out as vegan, plant-based, and then raw, which is not heated above 118 degrees, which is a temperature where a lot of the nutrition starts being killed off from our food. So we use tools like dehydrators and things to create crispy, crunchy snacks that aren't our mainstay. Mainstay is, as you talked about initially, greens. Greens are really a wonderful thing. But the key is the colors of the rainbow, all those different colors of our vegetables. And there's such a wide variety of delicious fruits and vegetables out there with such a variety of colors. Those different colors contain different phytonutrients. And so by getting a spectrum of colors, you're going to get a spectrum of health. And then the body knows how to take from those building blocks what it really needs at any given moment to create optimal health in our bodies.
And Karen, we're, as Dan says, we're kind of, we're flexible, meaning that it, we know that it's not just what you eat, it's also what you don't eat. And we also know that as long as you're eating a high raw diet and the cooked foods that you're eating are good choices, and the raw foods that you're eating are good choices as well, because there are raw foods that aren't as health promoting as some cooked foods. For example, you wouldn't want to eat cashew cheesecake every day, even if it is raw, when steamed kale is actually better for you to eat on a daily basis. So, of course, we know how to prepare kale in such a way that it tastes cooked, it looks cooked, you can use it in so many different recipes that where you don't even know there's kale. But nevertheless, choosing the right foods to cook and certain foods you don't want to cook because you don't want to kill, say, the vitamin C or certain phytonutrients that have a low heat threshold, and then cooking at the proper temperature and not cooking fats and especially using a lot of oils, frying food, even grilling, baking, and roasting is cooking at high temperatures, so you can be creating dangerous chemicals when you're cooking, especially starches, at high temperatures. So we're not, even though at Living Light Culinary Institute we only teach people how to make raw food because so many people know how to cook, they don't know how to make delicious raw food, we don't advocate that people have to be on an all 100% raw food diet in order to experience the benefits. But we do advocate that they make good, healthy choices, whether they're raw or cooked.
You know, there's like, I'm thinking of, it's almost a metaphor, but I once went to a, I got a tour of a raw food restaurant. I don't think it exists anymore, but it was up in Larkspur, California, Roxanne's, maybe you remember it.
Oh, she was a graduate of our school.
Oh, there you go. Well, I got a tour of that restaurant and the inside, and one of the things that amazed me, because I've seen a lot of different restaurants, is this place was spotless. And raw food cuisine is not only clean for us inside, but it's clean outside. You're not frying. Frying is filthy. It just destroys your kitchen. The walls everywhere just gets the, cause it vaporizes and it coats everything. And the dishes are harder to clean when you cook. Raw is just so obviously clean to that degree.
Yeah, it's true. And one of the favorite things when I stopped cooking for me was no more scrubbing dirty, greasy pots and pans, and my walls weren't greasy anymore, and I love that.
And you got a nice, clean kitchen. You end up with no cross-contamination with anything. Our kitchen at our school is cool. It's not hot. It's not noisy with big hoods and exhaust fans and all that stuff that really, you know, make it good for the people to work in, and because it's plant-based, it's so good for the animals.
In fact, the food handling inspectors for our county here, they don't even bother coming upstairs to our commercial kitchens because
I was going to ask you about what's going on, what went on when you got your commercial kitchen certified, and because the regulations are mostly geared towards all kinds of nightmares that can happen with animal products. And cooked food.
Yeah, we work very closely with our environmental agency as we were building our school, and we built it out and we passed our first inspection. We worked with them to, you know, the nice thing with no cooked oils, we didn't need a grease trap, we didn't have any boilers, so we didn't need any hoods. We did need good sanitation systems, so we end up with high temperature dishwashers so that we didn't have to use, you know, dangerous chemicals, and we got approval to use hydrogen peroxide as our sanitizing agent, so no bleach in our facilities.
That's good.
We're all eco-friendly. We have won multiple awards at Living Light for being, you know, an eco-conscious business, both from our county and from the Best of Raw. We won the Eco Raw Business of the Year last year. This last, in 2014, we just won for our eco-friendly initiatives that we did company-wide to continue to encourage all of our staff and all of our departments, both at work and in their personal lives, to, you know, continue to do things for the environment.
I don't know if you've heard this, and I doubt there have been any studies on it, but I've heard from people that have been involved in plumbing that the raw foodists seem to have the best plumbing, not in their own bodies. I'm talking about physical piping and what's going out into the waste.
Well, that makes sense, but I do agree that it's both your physical plumbing mm-hmm. in your building as well as your plumbing in your body. It works both ways.
That's right.
That stuff that clogs your pipes clogs them both internal and
that's
external.
Right. Yeah.
Right. Okay. So what goes on at Living Light Culinary Institute?
Well, we have people who come from 60 different countries.
Whoa.
We're the only licensed culinary school, as far as we know, in the world, certainly in California and in the rest of the states. We're the only licensed culinary school that is strictly raw vegan. We had to jump through a lot of hoops, but, you know, we started the school 16 years ago, and we believe in constant and never-ending improvement. So we managed to pass all of the requirements for the state of California, and we do attract people, as I say, from 60 different countries. We have 40 employees. We have, besides the culinary school, which, by the way, offers classes not only for professional chefs but also for home chefs. Anybody who wants to learn how to make healthier meals for themselves and their families, we certainly have programs for them. You can come for as little as a weekend or for as long as 3 months, depending on what your interests are. We have, besides a culinary program, we have a nutritional science program that's taught by Drs. Rick and Karen Dina, who are foremost authorities on nutrition and particularly the raw food diet, and they are both chiropractors with this as their specialty. We have an eco-friendly inn where we house our students. It's a short walk to the school, so our students don't need to have a car when they come. It's a beautiful area that we have here on the Mendocino Coast.
Oh, nice.
We also have in our complex, we have a cafe, and we also have a culinary store for anything you need for a raw food kitchen. So we really house four businesses within the Living Light Institute umbrella, I guess. The school being the primary business, all the other businesses are there to support our students.
So we've got a long way to go before we're really mainstream, but the terms vegan and raw are definitely out there. More people know about them. They're talking about them. There are all kinds of references to them in books and articles and TV shows and movies, which is a great thing. More people are going for green smoothies, blended salads. What foods today are the people most surprised with that they learn about when they come to your school?
Well, when they come to the school, they usually know about juicing and blending. They don't know necessarily that you can have amazing raw cheese, that you can have incredible desserts far and beyond what cooked food desserts are, really. And some of the favorite comfort foods that people are used to, like burgers and enchiladas and tacos and tamales and, you know, just pretty much everything except for maybe fried chicken and prime rib, you know, we can replicate because there are so many new products that are out, new techniques. I've been doing this for 20 years, and I'm constantly learning how to create different textures and new flavors and utilizing different kinds of spices and combinations of flavors and so forth, and technique, you know, really good, solid culinary technique. That the cuisine, as you say, has just changed so much. It's so far beyond roots and shoots and salads and smoothies. That people, even who are interested in raw food already, and many of them have already been exploring this as a diet, who come to our school are really amazed at how delicious this cuisine is and how much contrast and satisfaction it offers.
Okay, now I know that there are all different kinds of vegan diets. There are really healthy ones, and then there are the Coke and French fried ones, which are not so healthy. Are there raw diets that may not be so healthy?
Well, clearly, as Sherry talked about, is things like desserts, cheesecake, things that are really heavy in nuts and seeds can be overdone. We think of desserts as recreational and not part of a food group. So if you're having, once again, back to the variety, if you're having a variety in your diet, you're having a strong foundation of greens in many different ways, whether they're in smoothies and juicing and still getting all the colors of the rainbow, you're going to have a healthier diet. It's much more challenging to be a junk food raw foodist than it is a junk food vegan. We traveled all over the world this last year promoting our book, Raw Food for Dummies, which we like to think of as Raw Food for Smart, Busy People.
Yeah.
And we went to some of the big vegan conferences in Chicago and Toronto, and most of the food they served we couldn't eat because we wouldn't consider it food because it was a lot of deep fried and
vegan donuts, look out. Yeah.
And that stuff's just not healthy, and that's why when Sherry talks, we talk about it doesn't have to be all raw, but the choices you make in your cooked food have to be good choices. Like gluten-free is an important thing. One of the nice things on a raw food diet is pretty much you're automatically gluten-free with a few exceptions, and it's very easy to be gluten-free, and a lot of people have gluten challenges, and when you look at the standard vegan diet, gluten is the core of a lot of the fillers, you know, with wheat and processed look-alike meats and things that just aren't that healthy, and yet a vegan diet is healthy, but what raw food really does is take it to an extreme level of health. It's just amazing what happens when people eat, you know, a variety of healthy raw foods.
And the thing about gluten is it's not really just people who know they're gluten intolerant, or, you know, we think of gluten intolerance, but really it's not good for any of us. It's an inflammatory.
Yeah.
And even animals, we had our dog not long ago was having health problems, and, you know, we went along with what the vet told us to do. We gave him medication, and it just didn't seem to be helping, and I finally thought, you know, I'm just going to take him off of his vegan kibble. He was on a vegan kibble, even though I was giving him also a lot of raw vegetables and superfoods and everything. As soon as I took him off the kibble, within 2 days, his symptoms disappeared.
Wow.
And we see that so much with people. So with as Dan says, with a raw food diet, it's pretty much gluten-free anyway, unless you have something like a sprouted kamut scone or something of that nature. And at Living Light, we just don't prepare anything that has gluten in it. We're completely gluten-free. And that way people, you know, they may be symptomatic and not even know what's causing their problems. And when they go gluten-free, all of a sudden their joints aren't stiff anymore, their skin improves. There's just so many things that they had no idea. You know, they thought maybe they were getting older or this is normal, you know.
Yeah, a lot of people think that. They think it's normal and there's nothing they can do about it, which is really a sad thing. Now,
yeah,
you mentioned, go ahead, Dan.
I said, another key for us is organic.
Yeah.
And that's true for a lot of raw foodists. They're very high on the concept of organic, which means GMO-free, because just like gluten, the side effects people get from eating GMO'd food are numerous, and we don't even know what it's going to do in the long run. So organic is just, you know, best for us and best for the farmers and the environment.
You mentioned organic. I'm reading about how scary the organic certification label with the USDA may become. That they may be allowing some things that we don't want to touch our organic food.
I am always, you know, I'm on a number of email lists, and I'm always, you know, writing to, you know, being active with the congressman and the USDA, and it's important for all of us to be aware that there's a lot of pressures from big agriculture and the farming community and, you know, the pharmaceuticals to limit how strong the organic, you know, certifications are, and to limit our right to know for genetically modified foods. So I encourage everyone to
you know, follow that and be proactive. If you get a request to sign a petition to, you know, stop GMO'd salmon, stop GMO'd beet, stop whatever they're trying to do. They're trying to make it so the states don't have a right to require GMO labeling. There's just lots of pressure to water that all down. So be proactive.
And a lot of people seem to think that if they go on a healthier diet, especially a raw food, raw vegan diet, that they also have to go organic. For some reason, they're thinking that if they don't eat raw food and they cook their food, that they can still buy food that's not organic, that's conventionally grown, because it'll go away when it's cooked. And that is so not true at all. You know, you want to be organic no matter what you're eating. And as Dan says, get involved. Let your voice be heard. If you join some of these different organizations, they make it easy for you. They write the letter, and all you have to do is click on it. And the letters go out to your congressman and everything. You only have to, you know, put in your information once, and it just goes through. So you can really let your voice be heard. We need to stand up to this.
There's a lot of misunderstanding about what's going on with our food, and I'm so glad you brought that up, because, no, you cannot remove a lot of toxic residues by heating. In fact, heating often makes things more concentrated and makes it worse. People feel the same way about water. I'm really big about distilling water from the tap. I think it's great that we have tap water, and we should always have access to water. But once it's at your delivery point, you need to do some extra cleaning. And boiling water does not take care of a lot of the problems that are in our tap water. We have to remove it with good filtration.
That's right. When people say that we have safe water in our community, they're saying safe in that it doesn't have any harmful bacteria. But one of the problems is that it's killing off the bad bacteria and it's killing off the good bacteria at the same time. Irrespective of all the chemical residues that you're also taking into your body, you are killing your natural friendly flora that keeps your digestive tract healthy. And that's one of the things about the raw food diet also, is that we really encourage a high probiotic food like sauerkraut or the amazing delicious cheeses that I invented 20 years ago and are, you know, so popular today, that are, that have actually been fermented cheeses made from nuts and seeds, so that we are replenishing that friendly flora and all the time. And we need to always do that, whether we're drinking tap water or not. But tap water is just not something that we want to take in, because it really does a lot of harm to the body in many ways.
And when you're eating a lot of raw food, mostly raw food, your body doesn't seem to need to drink as much water because the food is hydrated.
That's right.
Yeah, you're getting, you know, a high water content food when you eat raw food. And the good news about that also is that means that it's also, you get a lot of nutrition from the liquids that are in our fruit, and it's not as calorie dense, which is one of the reasons that you can eat a lot of raw food, fill yourself up, be satisfied, versus eating a processed food diet where it's, all the water's taken out, the nutrition's taken out, and it's very compact, and you eat a little bit, it doesn't fill you up, and it hasn't provided any nutrition, so it's very easy to overeat. And in a raw food diet, people's weight, people's health just naturally normalizes to a healthy level without ever having to count calories or get out a scale. It just works great.
My sister was very overweight all her life, and she drug her feet not wanting to make changes in her diet. Because, you know, when you do, then a lot of other changes have to occur, changes in the places you go, the friends you hang out with, and all of that. Finally, and she's 8 years younger than I am, finally she decided that maybe I was onto something, because I'm older than her, but people were thinking that she was my mother.
And you look so hot, Sherry.
Thank you. People thought she was my mother. She couldn't keep up with us, to, you know, just running, walking on the beach. She really couldn't do any of that. And so she went on a raw food diet, and now it is 2 years later, and she's lost 100 pounds.
Oh, yes.
Never dieted,
nice.
Never gave up any foods that she wanted to eat. She just ate her fill. And she is a completely different person, psychologically, spiritually, physically. She's experienced a rebirth.
I love those stories. Now, we just have a few minutes, and I wanted to talk a moment about Costa Rica. Are you still doing events in Costa Rica?
We are not doing events currently. We do have a little place there. We were spending all of our time in Costa Rica. We were spending working, and so we decided we were going to take a few years off from doing that and just go to Costa Rica for our own benefit, and enjoy it. So we have a little place there, but we plan to do it again soon. Living Light Culinary Institute just, you know, really takes up so much of our time, which we love. You know, they say if you love the work you do, you never really work a day in your life, and we have a passion for this work, and we feel, you know, so fulfilled by it, and knowing that we are part of the journey of so many people around the world and helping to spread this lifestyle to so many different countries is just really such a blessing for us. So this is where we do our work, and Costa Rica is where we go to relax.
That sounds pretty good. Well, Dan and Sherry, I love what you're doing. I learned a lot when I first met you, and that was in Costa Rica at one of your Raw World events, and it changed my life, and I'm grateful for that. And
can we give you our website for your listeners?
Oh, yes, please.
Yeah, it's rawfoodchef.com.
Rawfoodchef.com,
and we are located in Northern California on the beautiful Mendocino Coast.
You know, I have never been to Mendocino, and I keep saying, you know, talk to me of Mendocino. I have got to get there. And when I do, I know where to go.
You do. And you know that the New York Times just this year put the North Coast of California as the number one place in the entire United States to visit and number three in the entire world.
Oh.
So you do want to come here.
Well, I hope too many people aren't going to go there, because then it won't be as lovely and special as it is.
Well, it takes a little effort to get here, but it's well worth it.
Right. Okay. Well, thank you so much. It's all about food, and you're making a wonderful difference on this planet.
Thank you, Karen.
Hope you will. Thank you. You know, I just wanted to mention before we take a quick break that I think I told you last week I'm going to be speaking at an event in Nevada. It's for a livestock company, and they're having their annual bull sale, and there's going to be a panel on climate change, and I've been asked to talk about animal agriculture's contribution to climate change. I will be the lone vegan talking to about 200 cattle producers, and it's kind of crazy. I've got a Kickstarter that we launched last week, and we've already reached our $2,000 goal, which is exciting. But I would ask you to go to my website, responsibleeatingandliving.com, and check out the Kickstarter project. It goes until March 1st, and we certainly can use all the support that we can get until it's over. And the videos that we've done for this lone vegan project are fun, so check them out. Also, you know, we're talking about raw food and vegan food, and how healthy it is for us. But the more I research about climate change, the scarier it gets about our future. And we cannot stop talking about how important eating plant foods and reducing and eliminating animal products from our diet is. It is so important on so many levels, especially about climate change and the environment, the health and the environment. Whew! Okay, let's take a little break, and then we're going to do some green hopping, okay? We'll be right back.